A lot of the things that I hear from women is very much from a fatigue level. Fatigue seems to be the first thing that women kind of begin to twig that something's not quite right, where they talk about finding it hard to get out of bed or sustaining their energy, being able to last throughout the day, like sometimes needing a nap in the afternoon or just crashing out after lunch, whether they're at work or at home. So that begins to be a bit of the flag that kind of comes along.
We're still laughing and learning with nurse practitioner Cherie Walker, who's been educating us on issues such as pelvic floors, menopause, and treating sun-damaged skin. Over chicken sandwiches and cups of tea with lots of sugar, we talked for hours recording these bites of wisdom, especially for women. Busy women, tired women, menopausal women, ageing women. If you're a busy woman and you're feeling run down, then take a seat at my warm table with Cherie and me. I'm just so pleased to have our nurse practitioner on tap today to tell us more about what we are experiencing in our hormones, in our bodies as we go through our daily craziness sometimes, which leads me to what we're going to talk about today, which is busy woman syndrome. Cherie, thanks for joining us.
No worries. Thank you for having me again.
So, you know, is it just me or is everybody suffering from busy woman syndrome?
I think it's everyone.
I'm not alone. Tell me more about how it looks in other women.
So it comes in varying degrees, I think, as to how busy we are and how much we're cramming into life. So a lot of the things that I hear from women is very much from a fatigue level. And that, like I said, can vary whether you... I'm not saying, you know, children versus no children, but obviously children throw in a different thing into the equation, the time and effort needed running around with children as well. But the fatigue seems to be the first thing that women kind of begin to twig that something's not quite right, where they talk about finding it hard to get out of bed or sustaining their energy, being able to last throughout the day, sometimes needing a nap in the afternoon or just crashing out after lunch, whether they're at work or at home. So that begins to be a bit of the flag that kind of comes along. It can go to more extremes where people talk about more body changes, things like hormones, hair thinning, weight gain, all the side of things. But the fatigue and energy levels seems to be the main thing that people kind of begin to pick up on and go, what I used to do before to help that is not helping. So that gets to be a bit of concern to them. And then that might be the point where they might start going to see a GP or nurse practitioner or health professional just to kind of get a bit of help. And that's where it can kind of, I think, can make or break depending on what help they get or they don't get in some of the cases.
Yeah, exactly. So describe what's happening in the body. We were talking over our chicken sandwich about adrenal fatigue. Yep. So tell me what that is.
So this is also one of those, I will say, maybe controversial things, depending on what health professional you speak with. There are some camps that don't believe it is a thing or it exists, and then there are ones like myself who do. And so the easiest way to think about it is, so we've got these adrenal glands that sit on top of our kidneys, and they are really important in maintaining stress levels and cortisol levels in the body. So our body is always going from a very caveman or cavewoman perspective, going between a fight or flight mode or rest and digest. So that's where we're sitting. That's, you know, get up in the morning, body's going into fight or flight mode, getting ready for the day, going to work, and then you might come home in the evening, getting ready for rest and digest, sleep, and we're in that cycle going round. When we have very busy lives or stressful lives or just increase in stress, our adrenals begin to fire, and so they're firing and firing, and our body is kind of going into this fight or flight mode, but it becomes a bit continuous. We're not getting flipping into that rest and digest mode. So what happens is you've got these adrenal glands that are firing, your cortisol levels are going up and up and up, and we're not getting that break. And then eventually what happens over time is that your adrenals get fatigued, and then you've got no oomph left because then your cortisol levels have gone up and then they've tanked. And that is when you find either women or men are in that beginning stages, or they're halfway through where the cortisol levels are high, or they're at that tank. Usually it's when they're beginning to tank that depending on the resilience in their body. Like I actually had a client of mine who was a psychologist for a very, very busy company, and we did some testing on her. And so one of the tests that we do is a saliva test where you collect saliva at 4 points throughout the day, and that actually measures your cortisol and hormone levels at 4 points. So we kind of get a bit of a pattern.
Can I just go back one step and tell me what cortisol does?
So cortisol is, like I said, it's our stress regulator in our body. So it does kind of get up and go and keep going, or in that it times off, like I said, very caveman, cavewoman, in that fight or flight response, cortisol goes up. So your heart rate goes up, your pupils dilate, that very primitive response. And then when the threat is passed, you know, like we're not going to go kill the lion or be chased by a lion, cortisol levels will come down.
And cortisol is a hormone in the body.
Yes, produced by the body.
Yeah. Brilliant. Okay. Yep. Sorry to be bringing right back to basics here with my baby knowledge.
Perfect.
Yeah. Great. You were talking about your client, and there were four main times.
Yeah, so we normally, in this particular test, is called the adrenocortex and stress hormone profile, and that gives us a pattern of what's happening with your cortisol levels throughout the day. So she did have a pretty busy and stressful life, and when we got the cortisol results back, when I actually was interpreting her results, can I swear?
Yeah, why not?
I was sitting at home, like interpreting her results and writing up her plan, and I actually got her results and went, my husband was sitting on the couch with me, and I actually went, oh fuck, because this lady was red line, like all
and you hadn't seen that before.
No, like normally there'll be like an up and down, but yeah, she was in the graph. There's like a green section, then there's an orange section, then there's a red section. She was like red,
the danger zone,
all the way through. So she was someone who, yes, was having the symptoms, but was functioning at a very high level and having a stressful job. So I actually swore, and when I saw her, I said, "This is what I said when I saw your results," and she's like, doesn't surprise me.
Wow.
You're in that fight or flight response. So they're firing, and then they will just tank, and then there's nothing left in the tank to give. And then that's when there's lots of other issues that can come on board, like the fatigue. For women, it can actually drop our progesterone levels as well. We call it like the progesterone steal. Progesterone for women is very relaxation, chill pill, helping with sleep. So potentially anxiety components related to it. But it's usually that not being able to get out of bed, potentially mood changes because the hormones or progesterone has dropped off, like feeling flat or low, can kind of have this knock-on effect.
So is that something that you would recommend people do when they talk to their practitioner, is have that sort of testing four times a day, or is that something that you just offer for people who you suspect have got some sort of adrenal fatigue?
So I guess, like I said, it is a little controversial in the testing because it's not necessarily in primary healthcare, so GP land, it's not necessarily something that's recognised or a test they do, unless it's someone who is maybe working in an integrative or functional medicine field as well. So that is something. Sometimes you can do it just on bloods, because you can do cortisol blood levels and hormones as well on blood. So that is something they might be able to do, but that just tests the cortisol level. Usually we'd say get it first thing in the morning, so before 8 o'clock, so get that done. And we can get an indicator of that, especially if money and budget is an issue as well. So that's something that can be done blood-wise with a GP who is open to that as well. Or you can go down the more integrative medicine where we would look at doing the saliva testing and getting an idea, because we can kind of see when it's peaking and troughing, or how extreme, or are we mid-level, where things are progressing to.
And what happens if you, long-term, if you're sustaining your cortisol levels at that high danger zone for so long, what happens to your body and your mental health?
So I feel that you just really just get into this fatigue. And this is where I begin, you know, like people, and I'm not saying this is the reason, but, you know, when people are trying to get diagnosed with chronic fatigue, it is a very hard pathway for them to actually be diagnosed down that line. And the treatment and management is, I'm not an expert on that, but I begin to wonder, is if we actually had done some of this testing and seen what was happening, can we actually stop that diagnosis, or maybe reverse some of their symptoms? So I guess it is a little bit of symptom and lifestyle management, but also, yeah, do we look at that testing as to what is happening, and where the cortisol levels are sitting? So if they're sitting at that high level, have we got it in the right spot where we can make some lifestyle changes, support the body, support the hormones to bring it down? Or are the cortisol levels just flatlining where they've actually already gone through that big peak and then it's just crashed and now we have a bit of work to do to get that body back into a repair, like that rest and digest mode.
And how do you do that? How do you bring the body back into repair?
So definitely lifestyle management. We have to make lifestyle changes, like looking at stress management, stress reduction, which is very hard for some people because it is just their everyday life.
It's the nature of their professional job sometimes.
Yep. And family life and everything that, you know, the combination of the two. So we really have to do a bit of soul searching and counselling as to that first step, because, you know, if we put a whole other things in place like medication, supplements, that's great, but that's just going to band-aid if we don't get some of the changes. So we would look at that stress reduction factor, like do they like going on walks, you know, do they running? And this is a hard thing as well, is because if you're in adrenal fatigue, you don't want to be going and doing high strenuous exercise because you're putting more stress on the body. So, you know, sometimes it is people who have used to run and weights and this and that, and it's not necessarily the best thing for them. Their body's not ready to go back into that type of exercise as much as it would be great for them. So we have to look at different things that they can do, like walking, meditation, yoga, Pilates, like that type of, where it's going to help bring your nervous system back into a rest and digest mode. So that's one way of thinking. Then, you know, I'm not going to tell people how to run their families, but family management, like, do you need help, outside help or family help, just to help that process, having good conversations with partners about sharing the load as and what's happening. And then I think the next step is, do we go down the line of medications, supplements to help with the adrenal fatigue?
I want to talk a bit about something that you're really good at, which is yoga.
Yeah.
And because I think this really fits in really nicely with this understanding of adrenal fatigue, but also changing that sort of, one of the first approaches, as you've said, is like really looking at your lifestyle and the way you were just describing some of the activities which are positive and helpful are actually ones that sort of rebalance, not just, I guess, the chemicals in your body, but this sort of rebalancing your mind and soul and body all at once.
Yep.
Is that fair to say?
Yes, definitely. So I, being the busy brain that I am,
my yoga. Yeah, you're the perfect person to be talking about busy woman syndrome here.
So I did my yoga teacher training last year. It was not with the intention to teach yoga. It was more for self-reflection, just delving deeper into myself and the work I've been doing on myself, but also wanted to learn a bit more about my Indian heritage and culture, things I did not know anything about yoga besides the movement. And, you know, in yoga we learn about the movement and being present and really how it is affecting your nervous system and really getting you into that really nice rest and digest mode. And there are different types of yoga that will get you a bit more into that mode. Like yin yoga is very much like nourishing on the body. So it depends on, you know, what you like to do, but the yoga really does help. And people kind of have different connotations of what yoga is and meditation. So it really sometimes can be foreign for them, or it's the time factor of getting to a studio. So the lucky thing or unlucky thing with COVID is that the studio that I go to, they did very well at, you know, flipping and have done a lot of online yoga. So you don't actually have to leave the house. You can stream it, do it from home, do that 45-minute session, 1-hour session, and you're not having to like go anywhere. So if you do have children and it's hard, you can just, you know, maybe when the kids are going to bed, put it on, do your yoga and just get that relaxation going as well. So
yeah. The studio that you're at though, you were telling me about the reciprocity of it back into the community. So do you mind sharing that?
Yeah. So I will give a shout out. It's called Vital Beat Yoga and Reformer Pilates in Midland. And Kay is the owner of that studio and is an amazing woman and has really given a lot back to the yoga community. So the one thing with the yoga teacher training, they do offer scholarships for people of colour because she has identified that in yoga, the representation is of people of colour, Indian descent, and all body types is not there. So she really has changed, I guess, her philosophy as well, and the studio and the representation. So her staff are very diverse backgrounds, different body types, and part of that scholarship is to encourage people of colour to go down the yoga teacher training. And then part of our yoga teacher training, once we'd graduated, was they offered us to teach community classes. So they are donation classes, so the community or new members can come and try out the classes for a donation to whatever charity or foundation we decide to donate for, and also allows us as newbies to teach classes as well. So it's a great initiative.
That's fantastic. So you did the teacher training through a scholarship?
Yep. Partial scholarship, yeah.
Partial scholarship, yeah. And so now you've got a 10-week block or a certain block of time.
So for this month, I'm doing every Sunday, I've got a slot that I'm just doing community teacher community classes.
So you're doing the community classes, which are at, so you don't get paid to do them.
No.
People can attend, they give a donation of their choice of how much they choose to give to participate in the class. Mm. And then you've chosen the...
Animal Protection Society of WA.
So you've chosen that charity to then donate whatever proceeds you make from that yoga class that you teach goes to that charity. What a wonderful system.
It's amazing. And the other thing is that it's also more people can come and try yoga as a beginner without having to sign up. They can get a feel for whether they like the yoga, a feel for the studio, and just the general environment. And to try it out. I graduated last year from the yoga, and I've just been teaching. I'm calling it bro yoga. I'm teaching some mates of ours from high school who we're still very good friends with. But that nervousness of going into a studio, as one of the boys said, I shouldn't say boys, men, said, I didn't want to be the creepy old guy in the back of a class as a beginner.
Of course.
Yeah.
And it's so true. And also, look, I've also got, mental blockers that, unless I can do it perfectly, I'm actually traumatised from the 1980s aerobics classes, right, where I went along and I thought I was, participating at my best.
Yeah.
Aerobics teacher just looked at me and said, right, we're going to step and we're not going to sound like an elephant this time. And to this day, I still can't do a grapevine. So look, I'm still traumatized from the 80s aerobics, right? Or maybe it was the 90s.
Yeah.
90s aerobic classes. So going into any sort of yoga class or anything, I just feel like, oh my goodness, I'm going to actually not know what I'm doing. And then a friend of mine recently invited me to go and do SUP yoga. And I'm thinking, I can't even stand on a stand-up paddleboard, let alone do a yoga candle. So, there's so many extremes and so many opportunities to participate in these amazing classes. But, coming back to busy women syndrome, there is this thing that, certainly people like myself have. Like, unless we're going to be able to do it well first time, then I'm really worried and anxious about participating.
And I was probably the same with yoga. Like, I was a perfectionist and probably bombed at some part of the yoga in the training because I was, needs to be perfect from beginning. And you just have to be like, right, I have some faults that I just need to, this is new to me and I'm,
We're allowed to be not good at it yet.
Yep, exactly. Mm. So,
Oh, that's fantastic. Look, I'm really excited for that. And look, so anyone in that area where is it, Midland?
Midland, or if you want to travel, I've got
brilliant. Okay, all right. So we'll keep that one in our back pocket. We'll put some notes in the podcast notes about that yoga place because that is just a wonderful contribution to the community and I love the reciprocity of that, as I said. As we've just been unpicking that, this understanding of having to be perfect at things and I think that comes back to busy woman syndrome and this understanding that, gosh, have you had your 8 glasses of water today? And have you walked your 10,000 steps today?
Have you had your fruit?
Two fruit and 5 veg. Have you done that? So we've almost got a checklist of how we're supposed to actually live our days every single day. And if we don't achieve all of those milestones, all of a sudden we're a failure. So we push and we push and we push. And again, our system goes into overload to try and do these things that we're supposed to do.
Sonia, now's a good time. We did have a chat about my experience. And I guess the reason I'm often happy to share it is because myself as, a health practitioner myself, that I didn't pick up the signs of what ended up being adrenal fatigue for myself. So I, as I said, busy woman myself, was in retrospect now what I've and I kind of go, I can't believe that I did that. I was working shift work in the emergency department. I was finishing my master's degree. So part of that was studying as well as doing a 200-hour internship on top of working. And my husband was working away at the time. So bit of a...
All at the same time.
But, just kind of got on with it. And then graduated, finished, and then kind of crashed and burned. But what it for me, the symptoms were I was just getting more and more tired, where I used to be able to get up at 5:30 in the morning, go see my personal trainer, do a 1 hour, 2 hour session, come home, be good. I would go to the sessions, feel great when I was there, come home, have my breakfast, and then just like tank, like I was gone for the rest of the day. Not being able to get out of bed, like just wanting, the more I slept, the worse I felt. And then in my head, I was going, am I getting depressed? Is there, what's happening?
And I was
going
to ask that. So how intertwined is adrenal fatigue and depression or mental health issues?
I think, yeah, to do with the changes in the hormones. So for women, I think I mentioned before, like your progesterone levels can drop off, which then progesterone, lack of progesterone, can cause these mood changes, anxiety being one of them. So, or feeling flat or low, which is maybe more to do with the adrenals and the cortisol.
Yeah.
But who can say?
Exactly. Yeah. So you were feeling low and flat and worried that you might be down that depression path.
Yeah. What I did was I asked to take my long service leave because I thought maybe I just need time off. And then
just a little tip, you could have taken some long service leave at the time when you were actually doing all that study.
Yes.
Look, just crazy idea. Crazy idea.
I just wanted to power through it.
That's right, because we can.
Yeah. So took my long service leave, went and saw my GP and kind of said, you know, like, I'm really tired. I don't know what's going on. I think we did some bloods. Everything was normal. So I just got told, go on holiday.
And so I have a holiday.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Then so I was like, that's not really going
to not going to
cut it for me. And then I started doing a bit of exploring and found a GP who does integrated medicine and started to see them.
So what's integrated medicine?
So integrated medicine, best way to describe it is because it sometimes gets a bad rap, but it's looking, I think it's looking outside the box. It's where we do like different testing and then we will sometimes do little things outside the norms of conventional medicine, looking at supplement support, the hormone replacement therapy, doing a deep dive. So we're very much doing the testing and not guessing what's happening and then giving you a plan from there. And the parameters with integrated medicine as well, things like your vitamin D, iron levels. So we have, you know, like when you get a blood test done, what the parameters should be or what is normal in normal medicine. We might like it to be a bit more optimized to get the best for someone.
Right.
So I guess that's the best way, yeah, talking about it, is that we're kind of looking outside the box. We're looking at the whole person. We're getting levels in the body to be really optimized to function as best we can. So that's why. So I went to see like, yeah, GP, but did into integrated medicine as well. We did a whole bunch of testing. So it wasn't a cheap venture, but I was like, I'm desperate. I just need something to happen. And yep. Did the saliva testing, so that came back with adrenal fatigue. So my levels were all low. My testosterone was next to nothing. My vitamin D was low. So all these things were like
all the indicators pointed in the same direction.
And then that really made me go, right, where am I going? And that very, it's, and what it wasn't an easy pathway. It was a long pathway out of that. And that's what I do tell my clients, is like it's a long pathway out, but we can get there. And that was a good couple, that was at least 5 years ago. So I do have every moments when I'm like getting too busy and I just get the fatigue and I go, oh, okay, got to take a step back. My body's just saying, no,
what sort of signs do you look for?
So for me, I just get this tiredness and I can only last through the day, but sometimes I will just need a nap in the afternoon. And that's when if I've had like a busy couple of days, so I've very much had to learn on my days off not to plan.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of things like this, and which is what was just very norm for me. It was like, I need to do this, I'm gonna visit this one and have a coffee and be like, no, just have to take a step back and really begin to protect my time. And yeah, really value my time and what I was putting it towards. So now I'm really just focused more on myself, my home life, my health. That's where I need to sit in that zone and just take that step back. But mainly for me, it's the tiredness, because I can have great days where I'm like, and I don't do really a lot of strenuous exercise anymore. I will, you know, do my yoga and Pilates, but walking is great because it's low impact. But I'm still getting out and about, walking the dogs, or meeting friends to walk, or just walking on my own. But I am also doing a bit of that almost meditation, because I do find walking out in nature, so that meditative practice as well.
Brilliant, and it's good to know our own signs to what to look for, so that we don't fall back into that trap over and over again.
Yeah, and to not think that that's normal.
Yeah, and look, and I reckon that our society normalises this busyness because, you know, how are you? Oh, really, really busy. You know, it's sort of the standard response. You know, it used to be, well, thank you.
Yes.
But now it's busy.
Busy, yeah.
So we do need to go back to wellness. I am well and I'm doing everything I can to be well.
Yep, definitely, to optimise the best I can. And that is, I think, the hardest thing for people to do is just to optimise and say no.
Yes.
That is probably the primary thing to say, not take anything else on and just say no. And
yeah. Or we can flip that, you know, say yes to yourself.
Yes.
You know, say yes to what is actually going to be healthy and cause wellness for yourself.
Yeah.
Because then ultimately you can say yes to other things later down the track.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, Sheree, again, always learning something from you. I really appreciate your time again today. And stay well, be well, don't be busy, be well.
Be well, exactly.
You've been listening to My Warm Table with Sonia Nolan. In Italian, a tavola calda is a warm and welcoming table where you can share big ideas, friendship, laughter and life. So much happens around the kitchen table and I wanted to amplify it here in this podcast. My aim is to feed your mind and soul through smart conversations with heart. No topic is off limits, but good table manners rule. I hope you'll join us each week as we set the table for my extraordinary guests who will let you feast on their deep knowledge, life experiences, and wise insights. Let's keep the conversation flowing. Please subscribe to the My Warm Table podcast and share it with your friends and networks. Perhaps if they are new to podcasting, take a moment to show them how to download and subscribe so they don't miss an episode either. I'd also love you to join our community on Facebook. You'll find the group at My Warm Table Podcast. Your support is very much appreciated.